Holding Son of the Veil, Leo, the second chapter, the eighth paragraph. And again, the Son of the Veil, Leo, begins with praising God. And we had seen when we started off Son of the Veil, Leo, that the goal of Eliyahu HaNavi in this Midrash is to implement within the reader Avas Hashem and the will to do tshuva. So it's not just random midrashim, but there's a purpose here. And again, he begins the Midrash, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, blessed is the omnipresent, blessed is He. And this, I haven't found a common theme between all the places that he begins the sentences with this. But it's interesting that when we read, when the Rambam, every time he mentions Hashem's name, he adds a praise. Hashem may be blessed. Hashem may be exalted. The Rambam will never make mention of God's name without adding praise. And it's interesting, the Midrash also is introducing many of the Midrashim with blessed is the omnipresent, blessed is He. Shen lefanav lo masofanim, that before God, there's no favoritism. Umilfanav noga ve'ol yotze la'olam, and from before Him comes out light and sources of light. The word noga refers to the light that's given off, and ol refers to the source of light. Umilfanav, and from before God, Geshamim Udshaim Beim Lolam, rain and greenery. Deshe doesn't mean the way it's used today, as in grass. Deshe is a reference to all vegetation. So all rain and all vegetation come to the world from before God. Secharan Shel Tzadikim Shem Shachakin Atzman BeDivrei Torah. The fact that the world is sustained is really the wages of the Tzadikim that wipe themselves out in Divrei Torah. I was ill this morning, still not out of it. And I said, you know, I wasn't sure if I was coming tonight or not. So I started preparing. And when I read this, I said, boy, we got to at least strive, right? Got to try. So we can't take it out of proportion. But then extend, the Midrash is telling us, even when a person's wiped out, he should try to learn Torah anyways. David HaMelech said, Av Chochmati Amdali. Shlomo HaMelech said, Shlomo said, I tried all kinds of different philosophies in life, and my wisdom was with me nonetheless. So the word af could mean nonetheless, and the word af could mean anger. And Chazal said, Chochmah shlamati be'af, the chochmah that I learned when I was angry, when I was wiped out, when I was finished, that's what stood by my side. The Torah that we get easily, that's easy come, easy go. The Torah that we have to fight for, that we have to work hard in order to attain, that's what remains. I once was working through a sugya for 2 weeks. So it took me 2 weeks to understand what a certain halacha was. So I'm working. Then the 2 weeks, I have it all clear, summarized in 2 pages. So I asked my chavrus, I said, you know, I could sum it up for you in 20 minutes. So he said, what? So I tell him the whole summary, 2 weeks worth of work. And he smiles when I'm finished. So I said, what's so funny? He said, it was very clear, but I know I'm going to forget it in a minute. You worked on it 2 weeks, you'll remember it. I got it in 20 minutes. In 20 minutes, easy come, easy go. You don't retain when you get something easily. So the Midrash is telling us a person should try to learn Torah even when sometimes he has to wipe himself out doing it. When a person is among the tzaddikim who wipe themselves out, he isn't just one of us, but he gets to the level of a tzaddik that's wiping himself out for Torah. So then the pasuk treats it as though he's the one that's bringing the light, the sources of light, the rains, the vegetation to the world. And that's why this verse that we've been analyzing for the last few weeks about David HaMelech's last prophecy. So David HaMelech says, Ruach Hashem Diber Bi, that's what we saw last week, that God's Spirit is within him because he keeps learning Torah. And then, Ucheor Boker, David HaMelech says, Yizrach Shamesh Boker Lo'avot Minoga Mimatar Deshe Me'aretz. That light shines like the shining sun in the morning, a morning without clouds. The light shines forth after having given rain and causing the grass, the vegetation to grow from the earth. So the Midrash is learning that David HaMelech is saying that the learning of Torah, when one wipes himself out learning Torah, it's like the light that comes helping the vegetation grow after the rain has been here. And the Midrash attributes all of these blessings to the tzaddik's learning Torah. And this really connects to this past week's parsha. The Torah says, "Im chukotai telechu." If you learn, if you follow the statutes of the Torah and you watch the mitzvos, so then there will be rain and everything will grow and the ground will flourish. All the things the Torah promises. So that's in connection. You keep the Torah, you go on the ways of the Torah, and that's what the Medrash is saying. That when blessing is brought to the world, we attribute it to the tzaddikim. The Gemara says that the Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa, he was very poor. He had the volume of maybe a Coke bottle of carob every week. That's what would sustain him and his wife. They had almost nothing. And the Gemara says that the whole world was sustained with his merits. He'd learned Torah and he had enough merits to get Parnassa by his own merits. And not only for himself, he'd bring Parnassa to the whole world. And that's a concept that we've discussed many times, that when someone does something, it's good for him and good for everyone else. Rebbe says that he was once standing and he saw a calf wail. And the calf ran and hid behind Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. So Rebbe asked her, "Why are you crying? You're being taken to be slaughtered and that's what you were created for. Why are you crying?" So in heavens they took Rebbe to task on that. They were upset. That's how you behave. An animal is crying, it doesn't want to be slaughtered, and you tell it that's what you were created for. So to an extent, and it's true what Rebbe said, but in heaven they expected from Rebbe greater sensitivity. And Rebbe started having a toothache. And Rebbe couldn't get rid of the toothache. The Gemara says that so long as Rebbe had the toothache, there was no woman who miscarried throughout Israel. So we see that even when someone deserves a punishment and gets the punishment, if he's a tzaddik, so in heavens they calculate that punishment, okay, he's suffering, that suffering could cause that many other people won't. That's something I told someone. Someone lost a relative in the war of Lebanon. So I said, look, we see by Samson, our sages give many reasons why his eyes were gorged out. They say each eye, he looked improperly, he followed his eyes, he went with a non-Jewish woman. Many things that the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, that's why he had his eyes gorged out. And bottom line, when he's standing there in the Colosseum, and there are thousands of Philistine men and women in the auditorium and on top of the auditorium, he says, God, remember the merits of one of the eyes they gorged out. And with that merit, he brings the house down. He pulls down the two pillars that are holding the house with that merit of one eye. So you ask yourself, what merits did he have? He deserved it. He got what he deserved. The Mishnah says that's what he deserved. So we see that it doesn't work that way. On the one hand, he deserved it. On the other hand, he suffered at the hands of the enemies of the Jews. And when one suffers at the hands, so in heavens, that makes an uproar. And that's why he had merits for that. On the one hand, he was getting payback for things he did. On the other hand, there were still merits from which he was able to reap the benefits of one eye. It wasn't even two eyes. And he killed more people then than in all his battles heading the Jewish people as the shofet. So Rebbe is toothache, and that toothache helped everyone. And when we do positive things, so then that also helps everyone. And that's why Chazal said, a person when he's contemplating what he should do, should always view the world as though it's a scale that's balanced. And this one action is going to tilt the scale this way or that way. And if he does what's right, so he can consider it like he kept the whole world going. Rav Zelig Pliskin writes in his book on happiness, he says that a person should imagine when he's doing something positive that he's in an auditorium and it's the Olympics and there are 100,000 people watching. And when he does it, they all jump to their feet and there's a roar from the crowd and they're all clapping. So he says, if you'd feel that every time you do a mitzvah, so it's much easier to do another mitzvah, you get positive feedback. So he says a person should imagine it. And it's interesting, they did research and they found that when people imagine it, so in the brain, the chemicals, the brain function is a left part of the brain that shows that there's pleasure and there's thinking. It works. So next time we're faced with something, we should remember the Medrash. The Medrash says when we do what's right, it's good for everyone, not only for ourselves. And we could remember of Zelig Pliskin, 100,000 people out there, they're all clapping. There was a Hasid Rebbe, I don't remember who it was. He said that when a person is faced with something that he's having difficulty overcoming, he should tell his friend when he enters that situation. And he has to promise his friend, I'll tell you what I did. And when we know we have to report to someone what we did, so very often that's enough pressure for us to do what's right. half the reason why we allow ourselves to do less than what's right is because we think, no one's looking, it's only me and God. So he says, if you promise someone, if you say, look, I'm entering such and such situation, when I get back, I'll tell you what I did. So that obligates us more to doing what's right. Now we'll go over to...